Title: Call and Response Riff in Ableton Live 12. Shape it for warm tape style grit for jungle old school DNB vibes advanced. Alright, let's build a proper call and response riff system in Ableton Live 12, and then mix it like it's going to tape. The goal is classic jungle energy. The call is upfront and speaks clearly, the response answers from the shadows with darker tone and throws, and the whole thing feels printed, glued, and slightly worn in. Not harsh, not shiny, not modern bright, warm, band limited, and rolling at 170. Before we touch any devices, set the tempo to 170 BPM. Then do a quick organizational move that's going to make every decision faster. Group your key elements into drums, bass, and music. Our riff layers will live in music, but we're going to process them mostly together on a bus. Now create three return tracks. Name them a tape slap, B dark verb, and C dub delay. Even if you think you won't use all of them, set them up now. Jungle is arrangement and movement, and return tracks are how you get that movement without turning every track into a science project. Now, the actual musical concept. Call and response. If you do this right, it feels like the track is talking over the break. If you do it wrong, it's just two riffs fighting for attention. Create a MIDI track called Riff. Call. Pick your sound source. Wave Eatable is great, because it gives you precise harmonic control without getting sterile, if you filter and saturate correctly. Simpler is great if you want that classic sampled stab behavior from the start. Either works. The mix approach is what's going to make it feel old school. Let's sketch the call rhythm in one bar, looped. Think syncopation that respects the kick and snare. A good jungle safe rhythm is to hit on beat 1. Maybe a quick extra on the E of 1. A note on the end of 2. Something on 3. A little pickup on I of 3. And then another on the end of 4. You don't need to copy that exactly, but use it as a mindset. You're placing notes around the break, not over it. Keep it to, say, 6 notes max. Discipline matters at 170. For a quick wave-eatable patch, start with a saw or a mild PWM-style wave. Add a sign an octave down but keep it quiet, like 10 to 20%, just enough to give the call some weight without stepping into sub-territory. Put a low-pass filter on. The MS2 style is a nice character choice, and set the cutoff roughly in that 2 to 5 kHz range. Then drive the filter a bit, 2 to 6 dB. Shape the amp envelope. Fast attack, short decay, medium sustain, short release. We're going for stabby, not pad. Now duplicate the track and rename it Riff. Response. Here's the rule. The response should be simpler and darker. Fewer notes, and often landing after the snare like it's answering. Classic response behaviors include a dubby stab right after a snare, a muted echo note that fills the pocket, or a pitch down answer that drops an octave or a fifth to sound meaner. And here's a timing trick that instantly pushes it into jungle feel. Nudge the response late. Use track delay, plus 5 to plus 15 milliseconds. That's enough to make it lean back against tight breaks without sounding sloppy. You're creating conversation. The call speaks on time. The response replies a touch late like it's relaxed, almost lazy, but still controlled. Now route both call and response into a group. Name it Riff Bus. This is your tape desk. This is where the vibe happens. The whole point is to get consistency and glue so the riff feels like one instrument with two personalities, not two random channels. On the Riff Bus, start your warm tape grit chain. First device, utility. This is gain staging. Pull the bus so it peaks around minus 10 to minus 6 dBFS. Leave headroom. Tape style chains hate beating slam too early, because you end up over distorting, then over re-king, and then wondering why everything is brittle. Still in utility, keep width at 100% for now, but if it's getting facey, especially once we add modulation later, don't be afraid to bring it down to 80 or 90%. Old jungle wreckers are not ultra wide, they're punchy. Next, EQ8. Think of this as tape-like bandwidth control. High-pass the riff bus around 120 to 180 Hz with a 24 dB per octave slope. Your sub belongs to the bass, not your riffs. Then listen for cloudiness. If the riff is stepping on the break, especially the body of a snare and the low mids of the loop, dip around 250 to 450 Hz by 1 to 3 dB. Small moves. You're carving space, not hollowing it out. Then do something that matters way more than people admit. Gently pull down the top end, a shelf down around 8 to 12 kHz by 1 to 4 dB. Old jungle stabs often feel band limited. If your riff is sparkling up past 10K, you're drifting into modern bright territory and it won't glue into breaks the same way. Now for the grit. If you have roar, this is perfect, but you have to treat it like tape. That means soft behavior, not aggressive folding distortion. Choose a softer curve. Start with drive around 5 to 12%. Keep the tone slightly dark, and use the mix control like parallel saturation, somewhere around 50 to 80%. If it starts poking too hard, don't keep driving and then EQing it to death. Back off the drive and use output to keep the level healthy. The target is thickness in the 400Hz to 2kHz zone and a gentle peak control. If you'd rather use saturator, set it to soft sign or analog clip. Drive 2 to 6 dB, turn soft clip on, and match the output so bypass versus enabled is roughly the same loudness. And that loudness matching is not optional if you want to make good choices. Here's a coach move. Put another utility at the end of your riff bus chain and map its gain to a macro called match. Every time you add drive or clipping, pull that match gain down until it's the same perceived level as bypass. If it only sounds better when it's louder, you're not hearing tone, you're hearing volume. After saturation, add glue compressor. This is your tapish grab. Set attack around 3 milliseconds. Release around 0.3 seconds or auto if you like. Ratio 2:1. Bring the threshold down until you're getting 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction on peaks. Turn soft clip on, but subtle. The point is to make the riff feel printed into the track like it came off a sampler through a mixer, not like it's floating on top. Next, a tiny bit of modulation for wow and movement. Chorus ensemble. Keep it subtle. Use chorus mode if ensemble gets too wide. Rate around 0.15 to 0.35 Hz, amount 10 to 25%, width 80 to 120, and the mix low, like 8 to 18%, barely audible. If you notice it as an effect, it's too much. You want motion. Not seasickness. Now let's create dancer behavior with throws, because this is where response becomes response instead of another lead line. Go to return A, tape slap, put a delay or echo. Use a short time like 1/16 or 1/8, low feedback around 10 to 25%. Filter it so it doesn't bring mud, high pass around 250Hz and low pass around 4 to 7kHz. Then put a saturator after the delay, drive 2 to 5dB, just to thicken the repeats. Add utility and widen it slightly, maybe 120%, so the slap feels like it wraps around the dry riff. Then return C, dub delay, use echo. Set time to 1/8 dotted or 1/4, feedback 25 to 45%, and make it dark. Low pass somewhere between 2 and 5kHz. Add subtle modulation inside echo, but keep it gentle. After echo, add EQ 8 and shave a touch of 300 to 600Hz if the feedback is building low mid fog. Important teacher note, keep your returns clean with return hygiene. Put an EQ 8 before the delay or reverb, and another after it. Pre-filtering stops the feedback loop from accumulating low mid junk, and post-filtering stops the return from competing with hats and snare air. Now, in terms of sends, send the response more than the call. Usually, the call stays present and articulate. The response gets thrown into space to answer, and automate those sends. Don't just set and forget. In jungle, automation is performance. Next, we need pocketing. The riff has to breathe with the break, especially the snare. On the riff bus, add the standard compressor for sidechain. Set sidechain input to your drums bus, or even better, just snare and kick if you've got them grouped. Ratio 2:1. Attack 5 to 15 milliseconds so the riff's initial bite still gets through. Release 60 to 120 milliseconds so it recovers musically. Aim for 1 to 4 dB of gain reduction on snare hits. If you're still masking the snare, do not immediately grab a huge static EQ cut. First, check note lengths and timing. Second, try subtle dynamic EQ. In EQ 8, if you're comfortable, you can duck a narrow band when a snare hits, especially around the snare body in the 180 to 250 Hz zone, and sometimes the crack region around 2 to 4kHz. Tiny moves. Jungle is all about preserving the identity of the break. Here's a quick pocket check. Temporarily set the riff bus width to 0%, so mono, solo drums and riff bus only. Listen specifically to the snare body and crack. If the snare loses its shape, fix it with rhythm-aware moves. A little sidechain, a little dynamic duck, slightly shorter notes or slightly less response activity. The snare is sacred in this style. Now let's talk arrangement, because a call and response that never changes will feel like a loop, not a conversation. Think in 8 and 16 bar blocks. Try this 16 bar drop plan. Bar is 1 to 4, call is doing the main line, response is minimal, maybe one hit per bar. Bar is 5 to 8, response gets more active and you automate dub delay throws at the ends of phrases. Bar is 9 to 12, call variation, like one note change or an octave jump, and you pull back the response so there's space. Bars 13 to 16, response goes heavier with throws, and on bar 16 beat 4, mute the call for impact so the response or the break fill can land harder. Automation lanes that really sell the pro vibe, tiny roar or saturator drive moves, like plus or minus 1 to 2 dB in phrase-shaped ramps, not random wiggles. Dub delay send popping on the last eighth note of a phrase, and an EQ shelf that goes slightly darker when the drums are densest, then opens up when there's room. That makes it feel like the riff is listening to the drummer. Now an advanced timing discipline trick. Separate feel from lateness. Instead of one fixed track delay for the response, make two response clips. Clip A is normal timing. Clip B is slightly late. Alternate them every two bars. That contrast reads like conversation, like question and answer, instead of just everything behind the beat. If you want to go even deeper, try a mid-side approach on the riff bus, a mid-chain with slightly more drive and less chorus, and a side chain that's darker, more modulated, and lower in level. Roll off more highs on the sides so the width feels smeared like tape, not sparkly like modern chorus. Now the part that really pushes it into old-school territory. Commit it. Print it. Resample like you're working on hardware.